Welcome to Back to the Basics with Pastor Jason McClendon. This program is sponsored by Crossroads Christian Fellowship, a non-denominational, conservative, and evangelical church focusing on returning to the mindset of believers in the New Testament church. The acronym BASICS, in the name of the program, stands for Believing and Sharing in Christ's Salvation. We are disciples making disciples who make disciples. And now, here is the message.
Good morning and welcome to Crossroads Christian Fellowship. The message today is about living through the will of God. But before we get started, let's pray. Father, you are so holy and so awesome. And we know that you are perfect and your plan is perfect. There are a lot of things which go on in our lives that we don't understand. I know that our finite minds can't even begin to understand some of the things that we have to go through here on earth. But we know that no matter what, you are in control. We trust you, and we trust that your plans have our best interests in mind. But we ask that when we have difficult circumstances, you remind us of that and lift the burden from our shoulders so that we can truly focus on who you are instead of why certain things are happening. The truth is that even if you told us directly why some things might occur, we probably wouldn't understand anyway. So give us the strength to get through whatever is laid before us. Father, thank you for the blessings that you've given us, and let us not forget those, even when circumstances in our lives are very trying and even feel devastating. All of this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The scripture reading for today is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What does God's will look like? I don't have a complete answer to that question. I know what the Bible tells us, and I know what it says about pleasing God. I understand that we should be doing everything we can to be in obedience to what God has told us. And I understand the promises of the future. I know that when I die, I will go to heaven. What I don't know about his will is why he either does certain things on this earth or he allows certain things to take place. I don't get it. I try to understand, but sometimes I just can't. And sometimes what happens in this lifetime makes absolutely no sense to me. But I am a human with a limited mind, and I readily admit that I don't understand God's plan. But I trust it. Again, I know that God is perfect, and I know that his plan is perfect. But that doesn't make it easy when events happen that significantly change our lives. Now, let me make one thing else completely clear. When bad things happen to us that cause pain and suffering, whether physical or emotional, that doesn't mean that God's will is for us to experience pain and suffering. Sometimes God allows those things to happen, but that doesn't mean that he desires to see us go through troubling times. Jeremiah 14:17 tells us that God weeps when his people are suffering, and Psalm 34:18 promises us that God is close to the brokenhearted. He feels our pain and he suffers with us. A couple of days ago, my nephew Trailer died. He was 17 years old and full of life. He had dreams and aspirations and hopes. To know him was to love him. He was an awesome young man. And the outpouring of love and support from his friends and family members, fellow students, teachers, everybody that knew him has been absolutely amazing. Trailer was the son of my wife's sister. Now, I've seen my wife go through a roller coaster of emotions over the last few days. At some points, she seems perfectly fine, and at other points, she breaks down and sobs uncontrollably. I can't even imagine how devastating this is for Trailer's mom and dad, or for his sisters or grandparents. I can't imagine losing a child or a brother. I know they are strong, and I know that they will get through this in time, but right now, I also know it is very painful. Trailer will always be missed. Always. But here is something else I know. Trailer is sitting in heaven right now, completely healed. I know that he was a Christian. I know that he took that seriously. And I had the honor of being included in his Christian journey while he did church youth group activities. I was able to speak to him about his faith, so there is absolutely no question in my mind as to where he is. He's in heaven with Jesus. Now it is my hope that this realization is of at least some comfort to his loved ones right now. And as time goes on and people fully accept the reality of his death, that reality of where he is should be preeminent. And so too is the reality of the hope to see him again for those who also know Christ as their Savior. But I don't understand God's will in this situation. One of my preteen daughters asked me, "Why didn't God heal him?" And I didn't have an answer. I just don't know. I explained to her that we have to trust that God has a plan and that no matter what, his plan is perfect, even when we don't understand it. And I told her that in this case, I certainly don't understand it. She then asked how someone's death could possibly be in God's plan. Now, for those of you who have experienced this, I don't have an answer for each situation. And I have to say again, I certainly don't have an explanation for Trailer's death. But I reminded my daughter that prior to meeting her mom, I was married to someone else named Tanya. And I asked her what happened to my first wife. "She died," she said. "Right. And at the time that that happened, I was angry and confused and I didn't understand. And to be honest, I still don't fully understand today. But I told my daughter that if I was still married to Tanya, I never would have met her mom. And my daughter never would have been born." Now, these are all things that God knew, even though we didn't. This was all part of God's plan, even though it was really tough for us at that time. It doesn't make it easy knowing that God has a plan, but it does make it easier, at least with time. I have a friend of mine, Robert, who's going through cancer treatments. Now, this faithful man of God has had one physical ailment after another for many years. He's battled diabetes and kidney problems, blindness in one eye, to name a few, and he's now battling an aggressive cancer. But he hasn't lost faith, and in fact, he witnesses to people while he is literally in the hospital getting his blood taken or receiving treatments. We don't understand the reasons or the whys in his situation either. But we have to trust that God is in control and that God's plan is absolutely perfect. The scripture reading was short. It's only two verses, so I'm going to read it again. It's once again Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, at the beginning of this passage, Paul says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters." We don't really hear that much anymore. We don't urge people to do things. Paul was clearly emphasizing the need to listen to what he was saying. He started off that way because he wanted to get our attention, because what he was saying was important. And then he said, "in view of God's mercy." Did you hear that? We have the mercy of God, and that's something that we should certainly be glad about, because without his mercy, we'd have no hope whatsoever. This scripture passage gives us an outline to follow in order to be in God's will and in order to live through God's will. But in order to live through God's will, we have to be in God's will. And in order to do that, we should present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. We have to make a dedicated effort to present ourselves to Him. Otherwise, we are not doing what God wants us to do. But what then is a living sacrifice? We hear about sacrifice a lot, especially when we're reading biblical stories. According to the online Oxford Dictionary, a sacrifice is an act of slaughtering an animal or person, or surrendering a possession as an offering to God or to a divine or supernatural figure. In the case of a living sacrifice, this is what we're doing. We are surrendering a possession, ourselves, our bodies, our entire being, as an offering to God. But that doesn't always come easy. Let's take a simple sacrifice. Have you ever been on a diet? If so, you had to give something up. Now, generally, when you give something up for a diet, it is something that is bad for you anyway. But you still have to make the conscious decision to give it up. And since whatever you gave up is probably something you want, it is a sacrifice to not have it. Now, maybe it's just a little sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice nonetheless. Dieting doesn't come easy, at least not for most people, because we have to battle through our fleshly desires. There are a lot of other sacrifices we make throughout our days. Sometimes we choose not to sacrifice and give in to whatever that desire is. The same is true of sin. Sometimes it is a sacrifice to not sin. But that's why we are called to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is constantly saying no to the things that separate us from God. Living and walking with the Holy Spirit, but still needing to make those sacrifices that keep us away from the fleshly desires that disappoint our Heavenly Father. And we know what those are. Sometimes we knowingly, willingly, and intentionally choose to do something that we know God doesn't want us to do. Or we choose to not do something that we know God desires. Instead, we have to be that living sacrifice in all areas of our lives. We have to constantly choose to live this way. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Friends, this is an everyday struggle. These are choices that we don't make just one time, but over and over, every day. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, choosing to walk with Jesus, choosing right over wrong, choosing God's revealed will rather than our own selfish desires, choosing sacrifice over sin. We are to make our lives and everything we do holy and acceptable to God. He wants us to not only put away things in our lives that are detrimental to us, including anything that is harmful to our relationship with Him or others, but also to put in things that are beneficial for us. We put away things that are detrimental and we put in things that are beneficial. Take the earlier example of dying. In that case, we should put away the things like fried foods and candy and put in things like fruits and vegetables. From the spiritual side, we need to stop doing things that pull us away from God and start doing the things that bring us closer to God. Sometimes we serve God conditionally, not necessarily on purpose, but definitely in our actions. I'm not trying to be critical. Well, maybe I am just a little bit, but with the right reason. Sometimes we are faithful on Sunday mornings, but then we get less faithful as the week continues. We want God's goodwill for our lives, but may not be willing to pay the price to position ourselves to be in that will, which simply means following God and striving to be holy. But the other piece of this is that when we generally think of God's goodwill, we only think of the positive things in life. But all of God's will is goodwill. Every single bit of God's will is goodwill. And even when unpleasant things are happening around us and to us, we are still in God's will. But when something unpleasant is happening to us, we have to know how to live through God's will, which isn't always easy, but it is right because it is perfect. It is simply God's will. He doesn't desire for us to suffer, but within His will, He does allow it to happen. We don't try to constantly live our lives as a holy living sacrifice to God simply so that we can receive His blessings. We live our lives as a holy living sacrifice to God even when unpleasant things happen around us and to us. And we do it because it's the right thing to do. We do it because that's what we are called to do. God wants us to live holy lives because He is holy. He wants us to be a clean and perfect person for Him. Now, we're never going to become perfect, but we should be striving to be clean and striving to be perfect. Before Jesus, the Jewish priests would make animal sacrifices to God, and they would sacrifice only the unblemished or perfect animals. Now, Jesus took the place of that, and He became the perfect sacrifice. And since Jesus did this for us, as Christians, it is only reasonable for us to do our best to live as holy and perfect and as acceptable to God as we can. The passage that we are emphasizing today really focuses on this. An ongoing, living, daily sacrifice to God. Just because we attend church, or because we study the Bible, or because we at some point in our lives committed to follow Jesus, does not mean that we are through. Now, don't get me wrong. If you repent of your sins, believe in Christ, and commit to following Him, you are saved. But I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about being obedient to and pleasing God. If we are not continuing to present ourselves as holy to God, how much of a witness are we being to the world? Listen, this is important. This is how we should live, regardless of whether we are receiving blessings or we are receiving pain and suffering and living through tough circumstances. How we respond to these painful circumstances will be seen by many other people and intensely watched by unbelievers who know that you are a Christian. This is one of the toughest things that we may have to do in this lifetime, to continue to trust in and faithfully represent God even when we are undergoing the most dire of circumstances. This is what it means to live through the will of God. The second verse of the scripture reading says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." This is about how we are to be transformed. In order for us to change our actions, we have to first change our mindset. Everything we do that follows comes from our thoughts, how we make sense of things, how we reason things out. God's will for us is to live a life of holiness regardless of the circumstances we face, whether that be blessings or pain. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." The things spoken of here refer to the things we need to survive, food and drink and clothing, etc. It is not speaking of blessings or riches or power. God has promised us that He will take care of us, but it won't always be enjoyable. That doesn't mean we don't still have joy, because we do have eternal life, at least Christians do. But God calls us, no matter what, to simply trust Him and to be in His will in both great circumstances and in painful circumstances. So regardless of whatever circumstances we face, we simply have to trust that God's plan is perfect. And we need to continue to live our lives as a holy, living sacrifice every day, with a focus on continuing to renew our minds, be transformed, and unhesitatingly trust God all the time, every day, under all circumstances. This is what it means to live through God's will. Let's pray. Father, we humbly come before You today and ask that You help us to better understand Your will for us. We know that Your will for us is to simply live a life of holiness, regardless of what circumstances we face. But Lord, sometimes that is really tough. We ask that You be with us as we go through painful periods in our lives and help us to remain joyful in our lives in Christ. And we ask that You lift the burdens from our shoulders. Father, in particular today, we pray that You comfort Ben, Emily, Zizi, and Abby, and all of those other family members and friends of Trailer. We pray that you give them the strength to continue seeking your will and living a life with a focus on pleasing you. And we pray that the memories of Trailer continue to positively affect those who knew him, that his memories continue to serve as an example to those who looked up to him, and that the lessons of his life influence others for ages to come. Lord, we also lift up Robert. We pray that you give him the strength he needs to go through the treatments he is experiencing. We pray that you comfort him and his family members who are going through this with him. We pray that you be with the medical staff to give them the skills and the knowledge to perform the necessary medical procedures. And most importantly, Lord, we simply pray for healing. Lord, we are asking for what seems like a lot, but you created the universe and everything in it. You are power, you are majesty, and you are love. Father, we thank you and we praise your holy name. All of this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, running a ministry is not free. There are many costs associated with developing and running programs, and we humbly ask for your support, especially if our messages have touched your heart or you believe they will touch the hearts of other people. We ask that you first pray about how God wants you to proceed, and then, if you feel led, help us focus on building the kingdom of God. If you are a Christian and you are not tithing anywhere, please consider tithing to us, or consider gifting to us, however God leads. Remember, the money you have is God's money that he blessed you with to manage and to be a good steward. The money you tithe and gift to us builds the ministry of Crossroads Christian Fellowship and the International College for Christian Studies. The more financial support we receive, the more people we can reach. You can make this monthly contribution or one-time gift through PayPal by going to donationforchurch.com. You can also find other ways to donate on that webpage. Thank you in advance for your support, and may God bless you.
Friends, I sincerely hope that you are already a follower of Jesus. But if you are not, you need to know that the Bible makes it absolutely clear that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. We are all sinners, and we all need Jesus. None of us can do it on our own. When we die, we will either go to heaven or to hell. But the ability to spend eternity in heaven is a free gift from God. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Because he loved us so much, Jesus paid the penalty of death for our sins. He paid the price with his own blood, which means that we don't have to. That gift is free, and to receive it, all you have to do is recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Confess your sins to God, repent of your sins, in other words, you have to turn away from them, and turn your life over to Jesus, asking him and allowing him to be the Lord of your life. Remember, just because you repent and make Jesus your Lord does not mean you will instantly become perfect. But you do need to strive to model your life after Jesus. There are no magic formulas or special prayers to become a Christian. Just make it known to God. Just tell him. He knows what's in your heart. Now, if you've made the decision to dedicate your life to Christ, which is often referred to as being born again, or if you've made the decision to rededicate your life to Christ, please let us know. Go to IamSavedByJesus.com and tell us about your decision. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to know if we can help you along the way. If you haven't made that decision yet, please pray about it. And we'll pray for you too if you let us know. This is the most important decision you can ever make in your entire life. It only takes a few seconds to decide, but the ramifications of your choice are literally eternal. Take it seriously. Remember, go to IamSavedByJesus.com, and we look forward to hearing from you. God bless.
Well, it's almost time to go. Thank you for sharing this time with us. We are praying regularly for you and ask that you do the same for us. Until we come together again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Go now into the world and serve the Lord. Amen.